Now, the Belfast Comedy Festival arrives next week, and among those performing will be Hal Cruttendon, English-born and raised. He is married, believe it or not, to a woman from Derry. And Hal is not afraid to bring up his good wife's accent in his stand-up routines.
I love Scotland. I love the Scottish accent. A lot of English people are frightened of it. I'm not. I'm married to a Northern Irish woman. That is the most frightening accent in the world. My wife scares me when she's being loving. She does. Like, Hal, I love you very much. OK, great. Thanks a lot. Cheers. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. OK, we'll do that. I feel safe when I'm with you. That's ironic.
What a talent. Hal there is going to be in Belfast next week. Well, we'll deal with the jibes about Northern Ireland in a moment, and we'll hear more about his family links to here. But first of all, Hal, like many of the rest of us, was up through the night, believe it or not, watching the vote in Scotland. So I asked him this morning, how would he cheer up so many disappointed Scottish voters?
I would cheer them up by... I'd be quite scared to talk to them, actually. No, I don't know. I'd cheer them up by saying, oh, come on, it would have, you know, you'd have lost the BBC. You'd have, like, and also they've got a chance to hammer us. Why someone has put a friendly football match in for November between England and Scotland? I mean, I think they're going to hammer us. I think it'll be about 5-0. Mm-hmm. And they'll probably have a little bit of revenge then. Mm-hmm. But yes, I don't know. There's lots of things they would have missed. I think that they love us, really. I think
deep down inside somewhere.
Deep down inside. No, I do find that I've been to Glasgow 3 times this year. I've done a tour gig there. I've done another thing there, and I made a television show there. There is this image that people have of, Glasgow, it's very tough and uncompromising and very, you know, it's a little bit like the sort of image of Belfast. And actually, when you go there, you actually, everybody's very polite to your face here.
How would you fancy playing Glasgow tonight?
I think it would be a little bit spicy. I think it would be lovely. I'd probably walk out and just with my arms held high going, come on, come for a hug. Yeah.
And do you have to alter your act when you cross the border, so to speak, when you move into a place like Scotland, or indeed if you're performing south?
Yes, I think you do a fair amount, because there is an unspoken, especially for me, being the posh southern London accented person, I do think that you know, certainly there's a certain unspoken thing that people want addressed about who you are, and that you're a bit of a foreigner in that area. Do you know what I mean? So, so I think those are the best jokes. I mean, when I've done a joke that's worked many times in Scotland about, you know, going on there and going, you know, I understand that when England play football, you support the opposition, and there's a sort of a roar of yes. And I say, well, we do the same to you. We just never know when you're playing. And I find the best way to address all those things is to be very rude about them. I think the best thing to be rude to people's faces on stage is actually some of the best jokes, to say say the unsayable. Because I think, especially a lot of English people tend to travel, sort of have a wariness about, oh, no one likes us out in the rest of the UK, so we have to be very sort of careful. Actually, to go out there and just say all the unsayable things is usually the fun stuff. I mean, Northern Ireland's brilliant for that, obviously. always saying the wrong things there.
Well, I was going to come to that, actually, because you do quite a good Northern Ireland accent, and that is because you hear a lot of it at home.
I do miss my family. I miss my wife and kids. I am married to a woman. I know what you're thinking. Shush. I'm not. I'm just very, very English. My wife is Northern Irish. She is Northern Irish. I love Northern Irish people. Very, very hard to understand the accent. Very hard. I can be in a pub in Northern Ireland and people are going, right, is that where to bite? About to bite the cup? And I'm like, yes, no, I don't know. The English are very bad at understanding accents, and I think this is why historically we've treated countries around us so badly. Like in the years before independence, the Irish were saying, we'd like you to leave now. We were going, you want us to rule for hundreds of years? Of course, no problem.
I do hear a lot of it at home, so I must say, mine is appalling. If you actually realise what my wife actually sounds like. My wife's got a sort of soft, dairy accent, and I do a kind of, right, nice, kind of, mine's that kind of stereotype. You know, immediately I become much more manly when I do a Northern Irish accent.
What does your wife make of it?
she loves it. It's very strange. My wife will take any sort of abuse. You know, any sort of abuse about Northern Ireland. I do terrible jokes about her. About her beating me at Scrabble and marching around the house to celebrate it every year. silly stereotypes. She doesn't mind that, but anything she doesn't like anything that's too rude about her in terms of sexually or something like that. But anything like that she wouldn't like. But anything being as rude as I like about her Northern Irish identity, she takes incredibly well.
and tell me, how did you meet? Did you pluck her out of the audience?
No, I . Well, like most people, alcohol helps me with my wife. She, like most men, I'm with a woman that's far too good for me. And I was in a bar. I do not pick people up in bars, but I was in a bar for my 30th birthday in London, very, very drunk, and with a friend who was excellent at picking up women. And she walked in, and my friend immediately made a beeline for her because she looked stunning. And I sort of went just to join in their conversation, and I was just joking around. Then my friend went off, and we ended up chatting. But it is terrible. I know one shouldn't encourage people to drink, but without alcohol, I would not have had the guts to approach my wife at all. So I put it all down to alcohol and the fact, she just happened to walk into a bar on the 30th birthday, and I was very drunk.
And how have her family from Derry taken to an Englishman? Tell me.
They're fine. They're to my face.
So again, far,
to my face, they're fine. I try and keep it quiet when I'm going over there to do a show, because they tend to come and I do make some jokes about them. They're fine. No, they're fine. There's a little bit of there's a little bit of Mickey taking, obviously. There's, especially when the sports on it is difficult with rugby. The family are very, very anti-English when it comes to rugby. So that's always the problem I have. I'm trying to avoid it whenever there's a rugby match over there.
Tell me, how did it all start for you, Hal? How did you become a comedian in the first place? Because a lot of us like to share jokes with friends, but it is a different thing, if you like, then to say, well, perhaps I could make a living out of this.
Do you know what? I sort of, compared to a lot of modern comics, I started quite late. A lot of good comedians start sort of 18 years old or 17 at the moment. I wasn't like that. I was an actor for a while. I worked at the BBC. I kind of tried lots of jobs and they didn't work out. So I ended up with somebody going, you should try comedy. Comedy is a really hard job. For the first few years, it can be so hard. So I think you've got to be really on your knees to do it. You've got to have failed a lot of stuff, which obviously gives you material. If you're one of life's failures, maybe comedy is your thing, because there's a lot to talk about when you're not very good at a lot of other stuff.
Have you ever bombed out on stage? Have you ever died on stage just missing the target in total silence?
Totally. And every comedian does. There isn't a comedian alive. And Michael McIntyre is, died horrifically. I've seen Michael McIntyre die horrifically when we were very new on the circuit. Everybody has those moments where you go out and it's how you react to that that determines whether you keep going. If you're arrogant enough to go, the whole crowd booing me off, but I still think I'm brilliant, then you're a comedian. it's sort of denial. You know, that's really what it takes. It does take a bit of iron will. But there's been some dangerous times. A couple of times people have tried to attack me and things like that. Not that I'm that controversial at that at all. But when you're working in clubs where people are drinking a lot, there is always that danger. But it's funny because it's always the ones that you worry about the least that usually go wrong. Like there's a club. Do you know? I think it's still going. The Empire Club in Belfast.
Yes.
Which I remember. It was one of my first gigs out of London. I was very new. And I went over there. Somebody had booked me for it, and I was beside myself with terror. I before I met my wife, it was the first time I'd been to Northern Ireland. Didn't think about it. I didn't know. I was going to Belfast. Never been to Belfast, and started playing a club there. And I think it's why I've always got a soft spot for Northern Ireland, because it went so well. And I was the ones you're always frightened about are the ones that seem to always go brilliantly.
And how have you gone down in Scotland, Hal? Do you have to steel yourself in Scotland before you take to the stage?
I think Scotland is... it totally depends where you are, doesn't it? I mean, I I think older comics used to talk about the Glasgow Empire being this, you know, this place where comics died. But I just think it's something that you go out there and you address something early on, and people, you know, people will laugh at it. You go out there and as long as someone like me, who sounds like a Tory government minister, not my own, you know, I'm sorry about that. You walk out and say, if you address that early on and they go, oh, he's making fun of himself, then you're fine. I don't think anybody ever judges somebody on what they are. They judge them on their attitude and whether they're ready to make fun of themselves. And if you're ready to make fun of yourself, no one will ever, everybody will always give you a chance, I think.
Mm-hmm. Does comedy pay well, Hal?
Oh, brilliantly. I'm absolutely loaded. it pays better than people think, actually, at all levels. When obviously people are on TV the whole time and are playing the big arenas and things are multi-millionaires. But I used to make quite a good living because I'd be doing about 5 clubs in one night. You'd go and do 20 minutes in London. I mean, London has so many comedy clubs that you would just run from club to club. And people sort of think you're amateurs often in clubs. You know, you would in those years when I was doing that, and you'd go on stage and be running something. They go, oh, you know, keep up. Don't you know? You could do this professionally one day. And you're thinking, I'm actually earning quite a good living doing this. It's just because I'm doing lots in one night. So it does. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's better than a proper job, isn't it?
Bound to be. Although the hours, I would imagine, are a bit testing from time to time. Hal, just finally, of course, today is a big political day. A lot of questions being raised today about Scotland, the future of the UK and so on. Mm. Is this referendum now going to feature in some of your material? Do you see politics as a fertile ground?
Yeah, well, I mean, I like doing stuff about politics. I do have an interest in politics. I was already doing some jokes about England's reaction if they were to say yes. I was just thinking that the whole media was going to get very very spiky because I think people seem to underestimate how unpleasant England. Well, they don't underestimate. I think people know that if England doesn't get what it wants, it gets very unpleasant. And I just was looking forward to the media where you have weather presenters going, it's nice and sunny down south and a little bit cloudier in the Midlands and up in Scotland, it's absolutely pouring down. Yes, you know, everything would have been a nasty, you know, a sort of nasty comment about it. But I think big political changes like that are always fun to talk about, and it's always fun to make fun of because people want. There is a tension. There's an inherent tension when people are divided like that, and that's where you can go and exploit it. And it's exactly the same way that the Troubles in Northern Ireland were a source of jokes. You know, Patrick Keelty used to, you know, just do loads of jokes about the Troubles because when people have something very serious and very divisive happening in their community or on their doorstep, you know, that's when jokes are really powerful because it's all about making, you know, what is terrible bearable because it makes it light. It makes it, you know, far less serious. So I think... Often the worse the political situation, the more serious it is, the more jokes you should have about it. I know people go, oh, you can't joke about that, you can't joke about that. I always think you can joke about everything because, you know, the really powerful jokes are the ones that take the sting out of the worst situations, mm-hmm. I think.
And is that what we can expect when you're here in Belfast next week, Hal? I think you're here next Thursday, isn't that right?
Yes, Thursday, yes.
Looking forward to it?
I am looking forward to it. I'm trying to hide from my in-laws, but I know they're going to turn up, they always do.
will they be the hecklers at the back?
Yes, they will. There'll be trouble.
Hal, we'll leave it there. It's been a pleasure talking to you this morning.
Lovely to speak to you. Take care. Cheers.